Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Cosmic Circus review. My name is Vin. With me today, we have a special guest, my friend AJ. I've known this guy for 6 years now, 2019.
It's been a dog's age, I will say.
And I gotta say, I'm so happy to have you here, man, because you put the show on my radar. I never heard of this. I didn't care. And I remember when the show started, you were talking about it. I'm like, what is this? What's this guy talking about? What is this? Oh, 20 minutes. I'll check it out. And it's become one of my favorite shows in an era of like Daredevil and Severance and like all this stuff coming out right now. And Common Side Effects has become like my weekly, like the thing I look forward to. This like 20-minute like dose of joy every week. And I've got to say thank you so much for the recommendation. I'm so excited to be here talking about it, man.
Like good TV, because like most of what I watch is either garbage or has been recommended to me. So it feels nice to be that organic force just pushing things out into the world.
Yeah, because there's no algorithm here, man. It was just word of mouth. One friend telling another friend. So that's the good stuff right there.
Yeah, literally the only thing that got me on board the show was knowing that the creators had done a pretty well-received show in the past, and Adult Swim has been doing pretty well with their TV shows as of late, so I decided, you know, I'll check it out. It's 20 minutes. And then I just got sucked in, and I never came back out.
Yeah, genuinely, this show is... It's that kind of show. Everyone, please remember to like, subscribe, follow. Thank you to all our Patreon supporters. Our Patreon's been like exploding. It's huge. It's great.
As it should be.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know, dude, our Patreon's still relatively new. It's only been a few weeks, but really, it's been going really, really well. So today we're talking about Common Side Effects, created by Joseph Bennett and Steve Healy. Joseph Bennett from Scavenger Rain, which you mentioned a second ago, starring Dave Keen, Emily Pendergast, Mike Judge, Martha Kelly, Joseph Lee Anderson, a ton of really famous like voice roles and side characters. Did you know Danny Houston was in this?
I did not.
He's the really greedy guy with the funny accent.
Oh, Jonas Bechstein?
Yeah. That's Danny Houston.
Oh, okay. I never would have clocked that.
Because I was listening to this, I'm like, this is not an authentic accent. This is some American. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? So I was really happy to find out. Music by Nicholas Snyder, who also did Scavenger Rain. And this show has already been renewed for season two. Fantastic. Why don't we start with, what's the story, AJ? What are we doing here?
All right, so the story is a very classic, you know, kind of conspiracy, big government-minded thriller. A guy finds a mystical, possibly magical, healing mushroom over in Peru that can fix nearly any ailment known to man. Cancer, Alzheimer's, basically any major thing that can go wrong with your body, this mushroom can fix it. So he goes about obviously trying to heal the world with it. The FDA, the government, Big Pharma doesn't like that. And the show is about him being hunted, them trying to shut him down.
Exactly. There's a nice speech in, I think, episode 9, where Jonas Bechstein is talking about the problems with the mushroom and how having a magical healing mushroom could destabilize so much business in the world. And so from a business point of view, medicine, pharmacy, insurance, we don't need those anymore. Even from a war point of view, if everyone can just heal themselves, what happens to war? Instead, war would escalate and every fight becomes a fight to the death. And it just becomes who has the most mushrooms to heal themselves, which becomes scary.
Yeah. That's part of what I like about the show so much is that because you can very easily just like keep it. Oh, you know, Big Pharma doesn't want to lose the revenue, but you know, it is all very carefully considered. You know, you have all these different facets that the show keeps in mind, and it's juggling a lot of balls all the time, and I really appreciate just how fleshed out this all feels.
The themes are it's kind of like basic themes like nature versus humanity, like greed versus, you know, selflessness versus selfishness, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's so well presented and such a fun, enjoyable package. And I love the high highs and the low lows. Like it goes through everything. It's such a delightful show. What were some of your positives?
I think one of the things that's been on my mind recently is that this show has absolutely nailed pacing from week to week. Every episode leaves you wanting more. It never feels like it's spinning its wheels for too long. And it's never like at a completely breakneck pace. Every character beat is given just the exact appropriate amount of time to breathe. No one gets too much screen time. No one gets a little too little screen time where you're wanting more. It wraps itself up and it's just so tightly is so tightly plotted, but still just leaving all those beats for like hangout moment, letting you really just sit and relish in like the atmosphere and the character. It's a really impressive feat of television, especially for just like a 10 episode, 22 minute long series.
And it all culminates in this great finale. And I just rewatched the whole season just the past day or two. That finale, it's honestly, I think, one of my favorite finales I've seen in a while. And just the way it wraps up everything, and there's like real stakes to it. There's real drama and real tension. And even like friends like Capano and Harrington, the two detectives, and what happens to them, it's like it's heartbreaking. And it's just how it culminates. Because watching this week to week, I was like, it's okay, it's nice, but it feels really light. But when you sit down and you watch the whole season together, it hits you so much harder. And everything's, like you said, everything's so tightly plotted. Gosh, I just love this. I really
I
love the
won't
themes, the
spoil it. I
humor.
won't
Yeah.
spoil it, but that last shot of that finale really made me glad that we're getting a season two.
Really, I wasn't sure where it was going to end, but the way they did the finale, it definitely is like, it's a great setup for season two. Basically, it all just starts transitioning, and I'm so excited where this could go from here. But one thing I really appreciated too is that every episode it continues to building the world, because we start with a good cast of characters in episode one. Pretty much every single episode, they keep adding more characters, and I was like, how many characters does this show need? But it juggles them, it balances them all so well, and every character has a role, they have a meaning, and they also have a unique point of view, and every character isn't necessarily good or bad. I mean, there's a few like villain characters, but most of the characters are like, they have complicated motivations, which I think is just so refreshing, right?
And I do like that nobody ever feels like, none of the drama feels like manufactured, you know? Like even like the Capano Harrington stuff later in the season where it feels like they're inseparable and maybe they start to have like a little bit of a schism. That feels totally like earned and natural. And, you know, it's just, and just like the way everything is like written between them, it makes you care for it and understand it when like, you know, relationships like just break apart like that. And again, it's just all down to the pacing. It's down to that fantastic foundation of like writing that all this stuff just kind of works.
I would have liked a little bit more background on why they make different choices in episode nine. I would have liked a little bit more setup leading up to that. But I think it still works what they did. Because like you said, they have so many plates they need to spin. They can't dedicate so much time to it, but they still give us enough to understand why they start diverging. One of
Exactly.
my favorite one of my favorite surprises was the music. I really love Nicholas Snyder's score. It's this tight percussive. It's so fast and fun, and he plays with different styles too. Even the previously on, did you watch those? The previously on intros? Every single one of those, every single week, it's scored like its own little short film. Like the score, the way it's edited, it's just masterful. I love those so much.
Yeah, I really like I mean, even from like just the theme of it, I really like the instrumentation, and like you said, like the percussion really just settles into a nice. And I hadn't really thought about the previously on, but like you know, just thinking back on it, all of them do kind of just have that. You know, they have the climaxes, they have the rises and falls. It's really bizarrely well done. Every component of the show is just like really crafted to work in like that full holistic sense.
That's something that I don't think I really noticed until yesterday when I started doing my rewatch, and then watching so many episodes in succession, and I was like, oh wow, this is actually a really great little tight little package. It's just like 2 minutes, recaps you on everything. You have a beautiful story composed with the music, and then they get into the episode. So I actually never skip those. They're always great. What did you think about the character designs in the animation?
So I took a little bit to immediately get into the show because like when you see like Mike Judge is executive producing, Mike Judge does good work, but also like combine that with the art style, it's like it's not grotesque. It's not grotesque, but it is just kind of like bordering on like a little uncanny, like a little unsettling to look at for most of the time. And I thought that it was going to be much more like straightforwardly comedic.
They're like big babies, right? These
Yeah,
giant heads, little hands.
that's a really good. They have like big eyes, they have big heads, and they're all just the way they move too is just kind of like very, very stumbly. But the more you watch the series, the more you start to like kind of appreciate it because it starts to feel more naturalistic and especially in how it blends the more surreal elements of it, like the surreal visuals. I think that they found a very nice middle ground between, very trippy out there animated segments and also making them blend well with like the more like grounded and like quote unquote realistic view of like just like the normal settings and normal characters. And also just like how they're able to use those character designs in the animation, just like the little ticks that they give them, again, in the way they move, like the like just like the bobbings of the heads, like the little micro expressions that they're able to do. It's gonna turn off some people from giving it a shot, but I think the more you stick with it, the more it starts to become evident that, oh, they knew what they were doing, and it just starts to it starts to work. They work with what they have really well.
Exactly. And I think because I was the same way too. When I started, I was like, I don't know about how this looks. Every time I recommended it to people, they're like, are you this one? Are you sure? But when you watch it, and I was really paying attention to this on my rewatch, when you watch it, their characters are so expressive. Their facial
Yes.
expressions, their body language, like even though it's like simple, like they just have a few lines on their face, but they express so much. I think it's episode 8, I think. Frances starts having like this is when she's in her corporate mode, and she starts kind of going through like these breakdowns, trying to figure out who she wants to be. And she has so many great facial expressions, and just a few simple lines, but like their eye movements, their body language. Zane, the brother who owns the aquarium, I loved his
Yes.
weirdness, his movements, and I think this only works when you embrace like we're gonna create something unique, something different, and we're just gonna go like full 100%. Take it or leave it, but we're gonna do something different. And I love that. It's so rewarding to go back and like rewatch the little scenes and rewatch all their weird little ticks and facial expressions and stuff. Fantastic.
It really just builds like an atmosphere of like feeling like naturalistic, which makes it like so much more like charming. No one's doing like wacky like cartoon like big animations or like big expressions, but they are, but like just like the nature of the story, like the action and like the trip sequences, it can't be any other, it can't be any other medium but animation.
Yeah, there's a show I want to mention. Have you heard of Undone at Amazon?
Have I heard of what?
Undone on Amazon.
I have heard of it. I don't know what the deal
Okay, you have to
is,
watch
though.
that. It's not the same as this at all, but there's some similar parallels. But the biggest thing I want to mention is that also has very weird animation. But my friend recommended that to me, and I watched it just because I trust my friend, and I realized that how the animation actually enhances that movie or that series also. So after that, I realized that, I'm gonna give something a chance if somebody I trust recommends it to me, even if I don't like the animation at first, because sometimes it's worth it to get past that first barrier and just embrace, okay, this is a new world. We're embracing the possibilities of animation where we can make anything look like anything. Let's see how they got creative with this. Let's see what they did to make this so special.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad I'm glad you took a shot on this.
I want to mention some of the characterizations for a second. What did you think about Nick, Francis's boyfriend?
Nick, I did feel was like a little one note, but it's also he's obviously there to like have a little foil for like the love triangle, the romance that's going on between our, Francis and Marshall. But I think he's mostly like a little bit of comic relief, same with most of the other Mike Judge voice characters. I don't know. He's very emblematic of like Frances's own like insecurities and like personal pressures and how she wants to navigate herself in that world, and obviously parallels with like the company that she worked for, the things she that she feels beholden to.
The reason I wanted to start with Nick is because I think he's a side character, just this tiny little character, but there's something so interesting in him because he's not a bad person, but he's a bad match for Francis. They don't
No.
belong together, but he's trying to be a good guy. He's trying to be good. And that's, I think that kind of shows the grayness that a lot of the characters in the show have, where they're trying to do what they think is the right thing, even if they are oblivious or they fundamentally misunderstand things about the world, but their intentions are good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the same deal with like Francis's boss. Like in one of the earliest episodes, I think literally episode one, Marshall calls him like the devil's idiot brother. But like as we get to know him through the series, like yeah, he's still beholden to, the capitalistic functions of Big Pharma, and yeah, he is a little bit of a dope, but he does genuinely at his core want to help people.
Yes, and I like seeing that too as the show goes on. And he's trying to do something good while also making money. He's trying to do
Yes.
both at the same time. And he, by God, I possibly he accomplishes it at the end. I really liked Gepanno and Harrington. I love those two. I think that's when I fell in love with the show at the beginning. Once they introduced those two, I'm like, bet I got this. This is my show. I love when they show Gepanno and his single apartment. And they perfectly characterize him in just a few shots because they show like some pictures on the fridge of like his kids and there's like a girl or something. But you see this guy's like living alone. He's like just in his underwear watching samurai movies, eating like Panda Express. And like, but just so quickly, it tells you so much about this character without a single line of dialogue.
Yeah, right. And I'm pretty sure the samurai movie he's watching on that is Jimbo. It's the one with like
Is
the
it
famously
really?
big it's like the one with the famously big
Mm-hmm.
like blood splatter. It's definitely a Kurosawa. But
Oh, of course. But I wasn't sure if it was an actual Kurosawa or if it was just something fictional based on Kurosawa. I wasn't sure.
yeah, Gepanno and Harrington were basically the reason that I gave the show a shot. I had seen like the big trailer, but they had released the scene where like they're being introduced and it's just them just jamming out to Jump in the Line by Harry Belafonte, and I just found it so charming that I just decided, yeah, I'll give this a shot.
Yes. That really sells you on the show. And I'm so interested to see what they do with them in season two. How did you feel about Frances's arc? Because she like has a roller coaster through this season. Did you feel it was a little bit too much like flip-flopping? Or do you feel that there's something consistent that she holds on to?
Honestly, I don't feel like it was flip-flopping at all. It felt very real to me.
Okay.
Like maybe a little less the lies of omission, but at the end of the day, she's very much like her boss in that she does genuinely want to help the world, but she also does need to get paid. She has to live in the world. She wants a degree of respect that she feels like she deserves from this, right? So she doesn't compromise on much. She's a very consistently written character, and I think that where she ends up does feel very it does feel very natural. It is a roller coaster, but it's also so in character.
I think she's also conflicted herself. Like the whole series, the whole season, I think is her struggling with what she wants to do. Does she want to just go with Marshall?
Yeah,
Does she
she's
want to stay at
constantly
Rudico?
wrestling.
And I think that's interesting.
And like
And go on.
Yeah, and like that's even reflected in just like, does she want to be with Marshall? Does she want to stay with her dopey fiance? There's this constant like push and pull.
Yeah, I think her character, by the end of this whole show, by the time it's done, I imagine her character will be the one who's transformed the most, I think. Because this season is she has a lot of questions and she comes up with some answers by the end, but she still has a lot on her plate that she's trying to figure out. But I just like the complexity of characters like that. Because she could have been just a very flat love interest, but she's not.
She's the
When we started
emotional
the
center of the show. Yeah,
Yeah, I
she's the
guess
emotional
really.
center of the show. Marshall is ostensibly like the main protagonist, but Frances, obviously changes the most, has some of the most agency in the show.
And I also
She's
like I
so
like
far beyond like a one-dimensional character.
I like how they reflect that in her outfits. Almost every episode she's wearing something different to reflect where her mind state is that episode. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting contrast to every single other character who wears like the same thing all the time. But then there's Frances who keeps updating her wardrobe based on how she's feeling and what environment she's in. So that's something interesting to point out.
Oh yeah, just definitely like when she transitions into like just business Francis, it's just one of the strongest visual cues in the whole show.
Yeah, with the music too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When we started the show, I asked a question to you. I like almost from the beginning, I said, "What are the side effects of taking this mushroom?" And we have a few little clues now. What do you think is going on here, and what will we see in season two?
It's definitely some form of like psychic connection, right?
Okay.
Especially it's all but confirmed in that season finale where they're in the portal and he's able to interact with the world from just a remote distance. But also I think those little critters, I think it's definitely some type of like a shortcut into like a higher dimension, or those are like little hopes and like human dreams that are being anthropomorphized. Or maybe it's like their own desires being reflected back in on themselves. I do think it's definitely like a higher consciousness type situation. And I do really, really want to explore that because as the show goes on, those side effects start to become like a little bit more tangible and a little bit more dangerous, because you can write them off as, just kind of see like trippy action sequences early
It's the
on,
title
but
of the
then you get the
show.
guy that's being, yeah, you get the guy who's being like driven to madness by just seeing these little freaks everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
And I think they're definitely going to hit that hard in the second season, or at least I hope so.
Yeah. And especially when you have Jonas Backseat and there's a big sign that says, take one. And then he's like, oh, bop, 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 bop. I want to see what happens to him. Like there's a sequence which is like the substance or something. And he's just when he's in the portal or whatever, and he's just going into weird slug mode. And for a shot, it even looks like the little baby from Eraserhead. And it's just like all the grotesque things you can imagine. And obviously, I want to see what happens to him in season two. What are
Yeah,
the consequences of this medicine?
he's getting like Brian Usnad. He's getting like Cronenberged in his in like a prison of his own mind.
Yeah. And I'm sure you remember the shot at the very end where like Hildy's like pouring the tincture into the drinking
Into the
water,
water tower,
into
yeah.
the water tower. She's like the Joker. And then Rick is like spraying, he created like a spice out of it to spray on
Yeah,
the
it's like sparkle.
food. Oh, season two is gonna be wild, right? There's so many possibilities of what wild crap can happen after this. My next question for you, dude, how many seasons do you want?
Here's the thing, with shows this good, with shows you get swept up with in the moment, you never want them to end. I
Yeah.
feel like season two could be like the last season, because before the season finale, like I had thoughts like, oh yeah, this totally works as like a one season
I thought
event.
so too. And then they
Like it
announced
feels
season
so
two.
self-contained.
Exactly. It feels so self-contained. Then they announced season two before the finale. And I was like, oh, spoilers. But that when you watch the finale, you understand the whole finale is a transition into this
It's
new era.
a major raising of the stakes, you know? The mushroom's going global for next season. And so if
Yeah.
they do decide
The
to do a season three,
dinosaurs have left the park.
yeah, exactly. If they do decide to do a season three, they'll have to find a way to like manage those stakes again. I feel like it could just work with like a season two, but frankly, so long as they keep showing that they have the ideas for it, I'm down with them making this for as long as they want.
Yeah, and I hope we keep all the same creators, the music, the editor. I hope we keep like the same team, and we just make it again and make it bigger and more interesting. Is there anything you didn't like about the series?
It did cut like a lot of the fat when it went into it's like the last half of the season. You completely excise Francis's boyfriend, you kind of lose a little focus on the North Carolinians, like those boys. And Hildy's heel turn felt a little, I mean, again, at the same point you understand it, but it does feel like a little bit unearned. Some of the major character decisions feel a little off.
To me, I think Hildy was up pretty unstable the whole season. And they really do present her as like this like crazy weird lady the whole time. So for me, that was fine. And I liked her better at the end. Early in the season, I was like, what are we doing with this character? Why is she here? Besides just to like look scary in a grocery store. But then at the end, like I understand her role in this series better, I think, and why she's so essential. Does that make sense? Any other thoughts? Any hopes, dreams for season two or
I would love to hear my judge just do more funny voices.
Yeah, the voice work in the show is really great.
More Hank Hill.
I think the show is just so special, and I hope more people become aware of it and start watching it, because I think it's one of the like the little things. It's not IP driven. It's not, there's nothing, there's no algorithm promoting this. It looks really weird, but it is good, and it has a lot to say, and I think it's really important for our world, and the commentary and how nuanced the discussions are in the show, right? The themes and everything. It's not just like heavy-handed beating over the head like money bad, money bad, but it's more complicated.
It likes to acknowledge that, the limits, the avenues that we just move through in the contemporary society. And again, it's just like a very smartly written show. I love that it is successful enough to get another season, and I sincerely hope that that continues.
For sure. All right. Anything else? We good?
I think that about covers it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you all for watching. If you enjoyed our discussion, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. Say
Get in the
thank you
comments.
to AJ for stopping by. Have you guys seen the show yet? What did you think? Have you seen Scavenger's Reign? Have you seen King of the Hill? Let us know in the comments. I'm Vin. You could find me on Blue Sky at Vin Writes Words.
You can find me on Blue Sky as well at Alex Radio Hour.
Be sure to follow the CosmicCircus.com on Blue Sky and at My Cosmic Circus, where you can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the ones you just watched. Thanks, guys. See you next time. And thank you, Patreon!
And special thanks to our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to see even more videos and extended content, please subscribe at the link in the description.
Thank you.